Welcome to Family Talk with host, psychologist, and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Luann and Dad, I am excited about today's program because we have a man show planned.
Well, and
finally.
I guess it's about time. Doctor, we tend to think that so many of our listeners are female. I like to think that because I am one.
You know, Luann, I'm not so sure that the ratio between men and women is quite as disproportionate as we sometimes believe. And the reason that we get that idea, and other Christian ministries do too, is because the women write and the women call and the women buy the books and the women are excited about what you're doing. And you don't hear from the men as often. And so if you just look at response, you would get the idea that it's 80% women. But I don't really believe that. And as I've broadcast through the years, I meet a lot of men on the streets and they listen to us and they love it, but they don't tell you about it. I was, in fact, in a supermarket a few years ago, and I was standing by a rugged-looking man, and he recognized me, and he came up, and he said, "Yeah, I listen to you every day," and we chatted together, and then he told me a story. He said that he's a truck driver. And that he depends on a radio to keep him sane when he's riding, from coast to coast. And he said that as the Lord would have it, his radio broke. And the only program or station that he could hear carried me and Chuck Swindoll. And he wasn't a believer. And that's all he had to listen to. And so he got to listening to us and gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And, that is kind of characteristic of the guys who are out there. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of average Joes out there who are listening to us. I think some of them regularly. But they don't tell you about it unless you're standing next to them in a supermarket.
Dad, how did that make you feel? I mean, that had to be kind of a big shock to you to hear that.
It was not a shock, Ryan. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it to know that guys like that are out there paying attention to what we're saying and doing. That's why we can't forget them. We can't just talk about the woman's point of view. We need to remember we've got a lot of guys out there, too. And I not only loved it when they talked to me in the supermarket, but I especially love it when they write to me or call to us about something. And so if you're out there, guys, for Pete's sake, don't keep it to yourself. Call us and let us know you're there. Well, we're kind of off on a bunny trail, but it's
no, we're not.
It
actually leads in.
Yeah.
It does.
Because we are, as you said, Ryan, going to talk about a man subject. And I'm excited about it. But we have both a man and a woman with us today. Our great friends, Troy and Kim Meador. My goodness. Kim, how many times have you been on the program with me?
I believe this is our fifth time.
Well, let's go for 50, shall
we? I agree with that.
When you're here, there's always something special that occurs.
Thank you.
Many of our listeners will have heard the names of Troy and Kim Meador before. We've featured them on our program a number of times now, and we've highlighted the incredible work they do at Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, which is a nonprofit facility for abused children and often abused horses. And it's based in Central Oregon. And Luann, you and I and Steve, our engineer, went to Crystal Peaks last year. Wasn't that a very special day?
What a treat. After hearing Kim and Troy for so many years, you know, you think you have an understanding of what they do, but until you put your feet on that soil and see it with your own eyes, there is nothing like it.
And see those children and see those horses and how they minister to each other. Kim has written a number of books. The latest is called Blind Hope, An Unwanted Dog, and the Woman She Rescued. And we aired a program on that. Kim, I hope you heard from people with regard to that program. And Troy, we're here today to focus on your first book, just released this week, and it's called Average Joe, God's Extraordinary Calling to Ordinary Men. You can see why I told the story now about the truck drivers, because that was an ordinary man. The two of you have been married for over 25 years now, and I love this. Your bio reads, "The size of our family fluctuates each year with the number of horses and kids that we rescue." And that is wonderful. Good to have you
guys. It's so good to be here. So good to be back. Thank you.
Let's get right to it. Troy, what in the world is an average Joe?
In my mind, and the reason I wrote the book is that there is a countless number of guys out there that they wake to the sound of a screaming alarm clock every morning at 0:30, and they put their pants on and go to work and do a job they may not be too excited about. They live within a life that wasn't what they expected when they were boys, wasn't what one they dreamed of when they were boys. They love their wives and they love their kids, and they fix their decks and they fix broken washing machines, and they just do it quietly behind the scenes that no one sees and no one ever really cares. And they are the best of us. And they are the ones that, in my mind, because I am one, an average Joe, I call myself that, and I'm glad to be just that average guy, that they're the backbone of who we are. They love their Lord, and they
love their families.
They love their families. They're true to their wives. No one's ever perfect. No one is ever that perfect relationship or perfect father. But within the heart of these men beat this just compassion for God, this compassion for their family, and this compassion to do it and do it right and
you
do it
well. You just described my husband, Troy.
Yeah.
I really did.
Well, there's a lot of them out there.
There's a lot of them out there.
That's what you are alluding to. Now, when you were a little boy and you were thinking about what you were going to do with your life, did you think of yourself as becoming an average Joe?
I did not. No, I had fighter jets hanging from my ceiling. I dreamed of being a scuba diver on Calypso with Jacques Cousteau back in the day. I wanted to fly jets and be a fighter pilot. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to save a life. I had lots of things that I dreamed about, and those were good dreams, and they were exciting things. And my heart for this book is that, listen, just because you didn't do that doesn't mean that God hasn't called you out to do something incredible for Him. And it may be just, in your mind, a husband and a father and paying bills. That's the best thing.
It's really interesting to me that when Jesus set out to choose His 12 disciples, He chose average Joes, didn't
That's right.
He? I mean, these were not superstars and miracle men.
No.
They were fishermen.
They were
tax collectors. They were ordinary guys.
Yeah.
Which meant they weren't chosen by another rabbi at the age other Jewish boys were chosen. The other ones who had shown promise and shown intellect and shown, the ability to learn and things like that had already been chosen. The other profession came because of that. That's who Christ chose.
And they went out and changed the world.
Yes, that's right.
They absolutely changed the world, and most of them gave their lives. I think all but one of them gave their lives for the cause and didn't count it as wasteful of their lives that they devoted themselves to the cause of Christ. Kim, do the majority of women value their average Joes? How do they feel about having a husband who is not a professional lawyer, a physician, is not setting the world on fire in his job? How do they feel about that?
I think that there's a very accurate measuring stick of women in our nation. The standard by which it's easy to see where a woman's focus is it on Jesus Christ or herself? There are no other choices. We get two. Our focus is on Jesus Christ or ourself. When our focus is on Jesus Christ, that is when we recognize that out of all the men on earth, I chose him. Mm. Wow. He is my guy. Mm-hmm. And when my focus is on Christ, I realize that my best purpose in this world is to live a life of example of Christ for my husband, to cherish him and support him and encourage him. That is my job. And it's also my greatest joy when my focus shifts off of Christ. Something very telling happens, and that's when we step out of that genuine love, and the first red flag that flies up is we become critical of the man we've chosen to spend our life with. Mm-hmm. Genuine love is not critical. Human love is critical, because human love is also selfish.
Mm. You know, it's amazing. I hear you talking about this, and I think there's almost three paths. We've either got people who are focused, as you said, on the Lord, mm-hmm. and who are content in what he's given us. Or you have the kind of entitled mentality where women are dissatisfied if they're not married to a movie character. Mm. Somehow, the average Joe isn't good enough, that you've got to be something extraordinary. Or the opposite of that is the sitcom approach, where you've got an average Joe and you watch sitcoms, King of Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, you go down the list and you've got this bumbling fool for a husband who is constantly badgered and belittled by his wife and family. And then that plays out in their lives where they look at their husband and go, you're just like that guy. Mm-hmm. And there's that disdain which tears relationships apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure it's known that there is great purpose and honor and wonderful life in the lawyers and doctors and the ones that are professional. There's actors that I know that are amazing men of faith that are moving mountains for Christ in those places. There's just a lot of guys that kind of get left in the shadows that just do their job every day. And I know that for me, I had a dream, and it lasted for 26 years. It happened about once a month. And if I can get through it without getting teary, it'll be great. But it was a very powerful dream. I left school, left Point Loma College, not graduating because the resources weren't there and my grades weren't that good. And what I see in my mind's eye in the dream is a shriveled up old man sitting on the steps of the administration building at Point Loma College, and it's me. And there's this overwhelming feeling that you have never left. Mm. You have never finished anything. You start a lot of things and you have a lot of dreams, but you're that old guy that's dying on those steps and your whole life is meant for nothing. And I remember waking up in the morning feeling so heavy that your life, all you've done is pay bills, dig trenches, you know, go to work, fix the refrigerator, paint the deck. That's all you've done. You'll never amount to anything. You've never finished the dreams that you thought you would finish as a boy. And I think the satisfaction comes from putting aside the boyish dreams. Those are good things. Man, those are great dreams. Mm. And I still think of them often. Putting aside those boyish dreams and embracing the discipline, the passion of a man, what it means to be a man.
At one point, you were digging ditches for a sewer line.
Yeah.
And the line broke and you were standing there in all this muck.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, is this what life comes to? You talk about that.
Yeah, the story of the whole. And what then the key or the background to that is that I had just left, was asked to move out of a ministry for all the right reasons. The pastor had said, listen, man, God's calling you out. And I don't know why, but I need to ask you to step down. I was a youth pastor of the largest group in Central Oregon, and we were rocking and rolling for Jesus, and had the corner office.
Yeah, 250 kids.
Yeah, had the corner office and the big budget, and we had a great time. We traveled, and he said, he pulled me aside with tears in his eyes, Pastor Ken, and said, I think the Lord's calling you out, and I don't know why, because I want you to stay, but God's calling you out. I left on September 30th and October 3rd. My first day on the job, I'm a good friend of mine. There was a contractor. His name was Frank. He knew I needed a job, and he knew I was struggling. He put me on this on a landscape crew with him. Mm. And the very first day that I went to work, leaving the corner office, all the good stuff, the nice warm in the winter, all that thing, it was snowing that day, and he asked me, I need to have you fix this broken sewer line. Be careful. There may be some effluent there, yada, yada, yada. So I dug this hole 5 feet down, 6 feet across, with a shovel. It's snowing, it's sleeting, I'm cold, I'm wet, and the line broke. Mm. And so I'm trying to get out of this hole as the sewer is filling it up and crying out to God, thinking, what in the world has happened? I was somebody in my mind, But the bottom line is that I was looking to be somebody in what I was doing, not who I was. The reason I feel content being an average Joe is because Jesus is my source. He is everything to me. And when you put your faith and hope in Christ, it doesn't matter what you do.
Did
that's
that
his
have
calling.
An impact on you? You've obviously continued to think about it. Was that kind of a low point of your life?
That was the low point.
Though, Satan was saying to you, you're nothing.
You're nothing.
You will never be anything.
Absolutely. I crawled out of that hole covered with stuff, you know, the stuff you don't want to mention, and laying there thinking, is this it? Is this what my life has come to?
You know, it's interesting. I know a lot of people today who are out of work and they're not willing to do what you did. They're saying it's beneath them. We have that in our society now. The definition of success equals somebody beneath you doing manual labor. We don't honor that anymore. And yet what you did is you left a corner office and you went out and worked for your wife to pay the bills and make sure the lights stayed on and you had food on the table. That's a hero.
And what's not honorable about that?
That's right. That's right. And you know what it made me think of? My grandpa Joe.
Yeah.
My mom's stepdad. If you just look at his list of accomplishments, most people would say he's just an average guy. He's an average Joe.
His name is Joe.
It is. It's Grandpa Joe. That never even dawned on me. You think about it, though. He left junior high to go work on a coal mine to support his brothers and sisters because his parents couldn't do it. He went into the CCCs. For the exact same reason. He was in World War II. He met my grandma. He loved her for over 50 years, loved my mom, loved her brother, provided for them their entire lives. Is there a better definition of hero than that?
And he became a master tile setter. Yeah. And everybody wanted him, he was an average Joe.
He had his 50-year union pin. He hung it on his wall.
Wow.
50 years as a union tile layer, and that was his award, and he was proud of it. Yeah. And rightfully so. He should be proud of it.
He stuck to it, hung in there, did the job.
I absolutely loved that man. He died at 90 years of age, and he was just one of a kind, but he was average.
Yeah.
He only went to the eighth grade.
You know, we need to change our definition of average then. If that's average, I wish everybody would be average.
I want to be like
everyone.
That.
I do. I've always said that.
Yeah. I remember, and you are. You are. Trust me. You are doing that.
Well, Kim, it strikes me that we're pricking the conscience of a lot of women right now. I mean, I'm sitting here, and I told you, Troy, at the beginning, you just described my husband, Steve. And what a reminder to you and me to honor and value and respect these men who are doing that. You know,
that's
so much of their identity comes from the way we treat them. And they can sit here until the cows come home and talk about how honorable that is. But until we ascribe that dignity to them,
that's right,
it's still going to be missing.
I can tell you, just listening to what the men are saying, that it's not what we do. It's not what men do that makes them extraordinary. It's who Christ is in them. That is what gives men value. And I've had many women in reference to this book. So, well, do you think that Troy's average? And I can tell you that perhaps from the world's perspective, Troy's the definition of average. He's a rancher and was a youth pastor and was a landscape contractor and a corporate guy. But I can tell you from my perspective, he's anything but. And my husband dug ditches for a dozen years to support a ministry he never saw. His head was down and his elbows were up for 12 years to support something that I loved and I believed in. And there's nothing average about that. And I agree with what you said, that my husband is my hero. And I ask myself often, why did he choose me? And I'm so grateful.
No man is average whose wife believes in him.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And if she doesn't, no accomplishment, nothing that he does will be good enough.
Yeah.
Now, Troy, you have tears in your eyes.
I can remember coming home so many nights being so tired and so I'm supposed to cowboy up here and not get tearful, but it's, you know, hearing my wife say that and know that there have been so many days when I felt like just obscure and in the shadows, and she would wrap her arms around me and bolster me in a way. She was the hands and feet of Jesus every day. Mm-hmm. Coming home after 12, 14, 15, 16 hours of working and seeing the ministry happening and wanting to be there so badly, but knowing that that was what not what God had called for me yet. My job was to do my job, whatever that was, whatever he put in front of me. We get so wrapped up and I want to do this and I want to do that. No, lean into the harness that God has given you,
Amen.
Whatever that may be. If it's behind the microphone of a radio, if it's writing books, if it's digging trenches, whatever that may be, there's a harness, there's a life that God has called us to, and there's men in this book that they've leaned into it. And they're doing it with honor and with integrity. And I'd come home and Kim would wrap her arms around me and tell me she loved me.
Dad, can I ask you a question? You have a lot more experience than I do, but it just struck me when a man isn't being respected for being an average Joe at home, I think a lot of workaholism comes from, well, if I can't get recognition at home for what I'm doing, at least somebody at my job will tell me I'm doing a good job. And so they work more and more and more. I just wonder if a wife who feels alone in the home, I mean, Laura says this to me and I'm always overwhelmed by it. She just says, I just appreciate how hard you work. I want, and it makes me want to go home. It makes me not want to work as many hours as I'm working because I want to be there with her. And I wonder if someone's feeling alone right now, if you were just to say, I appreciate what you're doing for our family. I appreciate the hours that you're working and for providing for us, if those husbands would be rushing home at night.
Oh, boy, that is good.
Well said.
Doctor, it makes me think of that proverb that says the foolish woman tears down her house with her own hands. And just the irony that these women who are striving for a superstar husband might be the very person who's driving him out of the home and back into the workplace.
And you know what's even more scary is that not only driving them out of the home and into the workplace, but possibly into the arms of a woman at work that looks at him and says, you're the man.
Who will give him what he needs.
Yeah.
You know, I think the temperament and the character of men is greatly misunderstood by women. They don't realize how important they are to him. They don't understand how vulnerable he is. When she makes snide comments about him in front of other people, you know, and reveals in those comments that she doesn't respect him, a man doesn't handle that very well. And he will often do what you said, Ryan. He'll look for it someplace else.
Yeah.
But, Doctor, I even think about how there are so many more women in the workforce right now than ever before. And they're excelling in their careers. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Yeah. But we still have to be certain to affirm our husbands as the primary provider for our families and kind of make sure they don't feel left behind by our success.
All right. That is really critical to our conversation here. Today, because you are married to a superstar.
Yeah.
Did that kind of make it difficult for you at times? I mean, Kim she's written these books. She's a great speaker. People absolutely love her. The two of you started this ranch, but the inspiration that she brings to it, were there times when you said, I know who you are. I'm not sure who I am.
Yeah. There were moments where I question, you know, what am I doing? And am I making any difference? But then there's that moment when you step back and go, I had a buddy of mine tell me, he said, Troy, when you look at a beautiful deck and you see the cedar and you see all the ornate work and the beauty of the stain and all that, that's all beautiful. But it doesn't stay there if there's not a good foundation. And he said, you are the rock that God has put in Kim's place.
That's right.
To allow her to do the ministry God has called her to. You're the foundation. And at that moment, I thought, yes, that's what I want to be. And I'm happy there. Yep. I'm content here. To be behind a microphone and talk about a book that I've written, it just freaks me out. Are you kidding me? You know, there's no
way.
You
know what, Troy? I'm really proud of you.
Thank you
for writing this book.
This
is a good book that I do hope many of our listeners will want to get and read. And Troy and Kim, there's still other stuff in here that we haven't talked about. Let's do it again next time. Can you stay with us before you go back to Oregon?
Absolutely.
We would love to.
All right, let's count on it.
Thank you.
Troy and Kim, we have loved our time with you today, and I know our listeners have enjoyed just the warmth and wisdom you have shared with all of us. And listeners, make plans to be with us next time. And remember, you can always listen or download each broadcast at myfamilytalk.com.
And right there, Ryan, as well, we have copies available of Troy's book. Again, the title, Average Joe: God's Extraordinary Plan to Ordinary Men. This book would make such a wonderful gift for the man in your life. I know I've read it. Highly recommend it for women to give their husbands, their fathers, their sons. It would be a great encouragement to the average Joe in your life. Give us a call for information about getting a copy of Average Joe, the number 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. 6825.
Luann, before we go, at myfamilytalk.com, our listeners can find out about an amazing gift from a friend of Family Talk that will match any donation to support this ministry. And it is very, very exciting to
us. It's a wonderful opportunity, Ryan. Anyone who wants to stand with us financially to continue the ministry of Family Talk, wonderful opportunity to double the impact of your gift. MyFamilyTalk.com has all the details.
Thanks for starting your week with us. Please listen in next time as we continue the conversation with Kim and Troy Meador.